It is time once again for Paris in Boston. That's our colleague Paris Alston exploring the region and showing us what she's found. Hey there, Paris.
Hey, Callum. How's it going?
Well. So today I understand you're taking us to the heart of Nubian Square,
where
Haley House Bakery and Cafe is reopening after being closed for almost a year. Remind us what Haley House is all about and why did it close down temporarily?
Yeah, so Haley House is a social enterprise, which means they're a business, but they have this mission of doing good and uplifting the community where they operate. So it was a really big deal when they closed because the community felt like it was losing a staple of who they are. And when they closed, the owners said they were taking a temporary hiatus to reevaluate its business model, which meant finding a way to balance its identity as a nonprofit and social enterprise with the need to run a business that actually makes a sustainable profit.
Ah, so were they able to do that? I mean, what did they do in the year that they were closed?
So in that time, a number of things happened. The cafe and bakery obviously closed, but they were still able to continue their catering services as well as a number of social services that they're known for offering. They also renovated the space, so they kind of improved its old space and made it fresh and shiny and added a lot of new sparkling touches. And they hired a woman named Misha Thomas as general manager for the bakery. And she, along with a number of other management and members of the staff, went through training in what's called open book management. And that's where they learned how to run a business like theirs, especially from a financial standpoint. And when I sat down with Misha to talk more about that, she said that's an education that the cafe really needed.
Looking at past menus alone, I can see huge discrepancies on what they were charging, even for something like, you know, a cookie or coffee. The cost of goods were extremely out of whack. The labor levels were also extremely unbalanced for what the organization actually needed and what this cafe could sustain from a revenue point of view.
So in that sense, was the model ever working sustainably?
From my opinion, it doesn't look like it was. And I think on a lot of levels, it's something the organization is healing from in large part. You know, a nonprofit that runs a soup kitchen, they're very used to giving away food for free.
Mm.
And you can't run a cafe or a food industry business at all and give away food for free.
So how do you balance that with wanting to be this service in the community that is accessible for everyone, but you also got to make money?
Mm. Just getting everybody on the same page, from staff to you know, volunteers and folks that are over at the office too. It's like, hey, generating revenue means that we balance labor and cost of goods in this way. We communicate that to the customer and set expectations accordingly. The cafe itself, it's always kind of been sustained by some grant funding and some local folks and then what it does on a business level. But the idea now is that we're able to, as much as we can, sustain ourselves and act as a positive model for other folks that are trying to run social enterprises as well. So we're still looking at training people from the neighborhood, training people and hiring people that have backgrounds of incarceration or have question marks on their quarry, training them up and giving them the skills so if they want to move forward in the restaurant industry, they can. If they want to move forward as an entrepreneur, they can, given what they learn here and our new management style. And that's kind of the training that we're implementing with our folks here now.
And just to note, Callum, that CORI stands for Criminal Offender Record Information, which, of course, is a record of an individual's criminal history.
And as she said, that was a big part of the Haley House mission, was to give people who maybe have a blemish on their background a second chance, who mm-hmm. maybe wouldn't find a job elsewhere. So
that's
what
right.
did those people do when the cafe shut down for a year?
So unfortunately, Callum, many of them had to be laid off because the cafe wasn't up and running. But they were the first people that Haley House reached out to when they were reopening the cafe. And in that time, some of them had gone on and found other jobs.
Which maybe is good news.
Exactly, because maybe even better paying jobs. So that was a good thing. But some of, and they didn't come back necessarily, but some of them did come back. And Misha says that they do hope to hire others back as things continue to get up and running.
So she mentioned that maybe the menu's changing, maybe some of the pricing had to change, there's some new staff. What else is changing at Haley House?
So as I mentioned earlier, the space changed. So they have this new, fresh space. And it was my first time at Haley House, actually. So I wasn't really familiar with what it looked like before and wasn't able to do the compare and contrast. But I did meet some people who were able to do that. And I spoke with a woman named Taishia Smith. She's actually an employee who was able to continue working at Haley House throughout its closing and renovation. And she's a fan of the new look.
It's more space, color-wise. I mean, it looks brighter because of, you know, the different color paint that they use. I mean, I like it. I still miss some of the art, you know, like the local art and stuff like that. Hopefully we'll bring that back. But I also like the black and white pitches. They're different.
So that local art that she's talking about was actually part of a program that Haley House did called Art is Life Itself. And that's where they would showcase local artists and they would put up these really colorful, vibrant pieces of art that really uplifted the local art community. And General Manager Misha Thomas says that's something she's talking to other management about bringing back. But it is important to note that the black and white photos that Taishia was talking about are from a local photographer named Jordan Christopher. They also changed the menu. So some people were a little bit worried, is my favorite menu item going to be on there? And I spoke to a man who said some of the things did have to get removed because they were and when they were evaluating this business model, they were saying, okay, we can't give everybody everything they want. Like, it was really nice for us to try to do this, but we're going to have to scale this back a little bit. So
I hear the mac and cheese was important, though.
The mac and cheese was really important to keep. And as Misha said, you might not get the same portion of mac and cheese that you once did, but it's still going to be one of the best mac and cheeses you've ever had. So some of the other things that they did keep were these muffins that they're really famous for. They're really tasty. I had one of them and it was delicious. And they kept their signature bowls, which are a mix of grains and veggies and meats, but they did something different and made them customizable, which was a really interesting new approach. And they have new additions like chicken and waffles with maple syrup and chimichurri sauce, something that the chef calls an emotion, and things like coconut wild rice. And everything on the menu kind of has a big influence from the African Latinx diaspora, which is something that reflects the diversity up in the neighborhood.
I see. So how does Haley House fit into that neighborhood then? Because gentrification is such an important topic in Boston. Mm-hmm. Nubian Square, the former Dudley Square, is not immune to that. How does the new Haley House fit into that trend?
Yeah, that's a great point, Callum. And that's something that was definitely a concern for Haley House because they wanted to stay relevant even in the midst of a changing neighborhood, but they also had to stay true to their mission. That's something that they really wanted to do even as they embraced a new identity. And so that meant continuing to uplift the neighborhood, continuing to hire people who have barriers to success, hire people who are from their neighborhood, and make it welcome. And that goes even down to the design of the new space. And it seems that regardless of the changes around Haley House, people are still going to come in and support it as a business. I met a couple named Phyllis and William Lewis. They had grew up in the South End and they live in Medford now, but they frequented Haley House for years and they were really glad that it reopened.
It still has the feel of a place that we can come to and still, you know, with the diversity, but still, you know, we can still commune with our people and still have diversity. I think it's a good thing.
I have to agree. As far as the desegregation or the gentrification of the area. That's happening everywhere, so you either got to get with it or, you know, move on. So I'm with it, I guess.
So he's with it, and whether or not everybody else is with it, that's yet to be seen. But
William and Phyllis are on board.
Yes, most definitely.
All right, that's Radio Boston's Paris Alston. Thank you for bringing us to the Haley House, but please bring me a muffin next time.
Sure thing.